Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 to 18. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth and its power. And we pray that we might experience your presence, your voice, speaking to us now as we look into your word. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. What is the role of Jesus? Why was he born? There are many answers we could give to this. We could say Jesus was born to be our role model. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And that's obviously very relevant if you're a persecuted Christian. Jesus is your example that you should follow in his steps in being persecuted, in suffering. But that's not the totality of Jesus' role. Some years ago, a minister in the town taught that Jesus was our example and nothing more. He is much more. We could say he is king. We could say he is savior. We could say he is friend. But I want to focus on one aspect of his role today. Jesus is our priest. We have a great need for a priest. We know by instinct that we're separated from God, and we need someone who will represent us to God. When I go visiting in the hospital, people sometimes say, "Say one for me, Father," or "Will you bless my baby?" Or "Will you pray for my loved one?" The great Australian preacher John Chapman famously replied, when asked to say one for me, Father, he replied, "Say one for yourself, you lazy so-and-so." The point he was making was, I'm not here to be your priest. You can talk to God for yourself. Here is the point of today's sermon. Jesus is our priest. We can all come to God through him. In order for him to be our priest, he has to be human. This was the great thrust of last week's sermon. But now today, four things to say of Jesus. He is Jesus, the suffering priest. Jesus, the brother priest. Jesus, the human priest. And Jesus, the sympathetic priest. Firstly then, Jesus, the suffering priest. Verse 10. The context, of course, is that this is a suffering, persecuted church. In the 60s AD, they're tempted to drift away from Jesus back to Judaism, because Judaism is a legally permitted religion. And the writer says to them, don't go to anyone other than Jesus. He is God's final word to us. He is superior to angels. He is the giver of so great a salvation. He has tasted death for everyone. And now today, Jesus is our priest, our suffering priest. Verse 10. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. So Jesus came to bring many sons and daughters to glory. We are hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. But God wants us to be his sons and daughters, with him in glory. The one for whom and through whom everything exists wants us to be with him in glory. And he wants us so much, he makes Jesus the pioneer of their salvation, the founder of our salvation, perfect through suffering. That is not to say Jesus wasn't always perfect. He is the perfect Holy God. But through his death on the cross, he becomes the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice for our sin. The complete sacrifice for our sin. And he is made perfect through his suffering. When I was a little boy, I used to think, surely there could have been some other way for God to pay for our salvation. Surely the cross involved too much suffering. But there was no other way. Jesus is made perfect through suffering. No other priest has done this for us. All other priests sacrifice an animal. Or in the Mass, the priest thinks he's sacrificing Jesus all over again. But Jesus sacrifices himself. He becomes the suffering priest. Secondly, Jesus, the brother priest, verse 11. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. We are in the same family as Jesus. That's an amazing thought. Some people are on their own. We have a friend who's just moved from South Wales back to her home area of Nottinghamshire. She retired to South Wales because she thought she would have more friends there. But now, age 90, she feels that she doesn't have any friends who can support her in extreme old age. The sad fact is that she doesn't have many friends or family in Nottinghamshire either. She really is very alone. Well, one thing we can say is she is in the same family as Jesus. She is brought into relationship with God through Jesus. And it's the responsibility of Christians to minister to the lonely who are part of our family in Christ. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. I'm an only child, but when I married Becca, I gained two sisters. And they've now got married, so I've gained two brothers. Gives me a real thrill to spend time with my brothers-in-law and just to be part of family gatherings. Well, far more wonderfully, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He should be ashamed of me. One famous preacher said, "If you could see into my heart, you would spit in my eye." Jesus should be ashamed of us. But he is not. His sacrifice has paid for all our sin. And so he sees us as completely forgiven and pure. He draws us into his relationship with the Father. Verse 12, he says, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters, and in the assembly I will sing your praises." This is a quote from Psalm 22, verse 22. Here we have a glimpse of the inner life of the Trinity. The Son glorifies the Father, as the Father glorifies the Son. And we're brought into that relationship. The Son leads us in praise of the Father. What a privilege. I love going to big events, maybe a concert in the Royal Albert Hall, or a rugby match in Twickenham or Cardiff. It's wonderful to be part of something bigger than yourself. For many people, it's a sense of transcendence, or the nearest they get to it. People make a huge fuss about the singing in Cardiff when the roof is closed on the Principality Stadium. But none of those experiences come close to being with Jesus, our priest, having him declaring the Father's name to us, praising the Father, leading us in praise of the Father. So that, like Jesus, verse 13, we put our trust in the Father. See, the point of Christian worship is not just that we sing songs. We actually live a life of trust in the Father, knowing we are the children God the Father has given to the Son. In verse 13b, is there any greater privilege than this? In Exodus, Moses is adopted into the royal family of Egypt. That was a privilege. But that is nothing compared to being given to the Son by the Father before the creation of the world. We belong to him. Jesus, the suffering priest. Jesus, the brother priest, Thirdly, Jesus, the human priest, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We are vulnerable. We are flesh and blood. A few years ago, we had a New Zealand rugby player to come and speak at Christchurch. I think he was a reserve for New Zealand. It'd be good to have him on our team, wouldn't it? And this huge guy was involved in missionary work in a rough part of town. And I made a comment to Jack Miller about how nobody would mess with this guy. And Jack said he might have huge muscles, but he would still bleed. Even huge rugby players are vulnerable. We have flesh and blood. We succumb to infections. We get tired. We ultimately die. And Jesus, who is God, who knew nothing of vulnerability, shared in their humanity. He chose to become human like us. He chose to get ill. He chose to get tired. He chose to die, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We don't like to think of ourselves as slaves, but actually we are. We are enslaved by a fear of death. We know instinctively that death is the greatest terror. Henry Scott Holland famously wrote, "Death is nothing at all. I have only slipped away to the next room. I am I, and you are you. Whatever we were to each other, that we still are. Call me by my old familiar name. Speak to me in the easy way which you always used. Put no difference in your tone. Wear no forced air of solemnity or sorrow." But we know, even when the deceased person is a Christian, and we know they've gone to heaven, we know death is not nothing. Death is a terrible trauma. How wonderful then that Jesus is the human priest. He shared in our humanity to break the power of Satan, who holds the power of death. Satan is the one who incites us into sin. That leads to death. And Jesus has won the victory over him. By his death, Jesus breaks Satan's power and opens heaven for us. And Jesus did this for people, not for angels. Verse 16. "For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. As Christians, we are Abraham's spiritual descendants. We are members of the people of God. And in order to help human beings," verse 17, "for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." Jesus is fully human in every way. At different points in church history, this has been denied. You know that 1 John was partly written to counter this heresy. 1 John 4:2. "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. There was a movement as early as the first century which argued that Jesus didn't really become human, didn't really come in the flesh. The flesh is dirty. It bleeds and sweats and excretes. How could God come in the flesh? How could God come as a human being? He did it because he loved us. So much did God love us. He gave Jesus to be made human in every way, so that he might be our priest, a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. There is no other priest we need. Jesus is merciful to us. How thankful are we for this? I need mercy. I am a sinner. And Jesus is merciful. He is faithful. I am faithless very often. I let him down. He goes on being faithful to me. But there's more. That he might make atonement for the sins of the people. How do priests make atonement for sin? They sacrifice an animal, perhaps a lamb. What does Jesus do? He sacrifices himself. He is both priest and victim. Spurgeon said, "He who was of infinite dignity, he who in his first estate as very God of very God was worshipped and obeyed by all the angels of heaven, he who was with the Father when he spanned the heavens and laid the foundations of the universe, he it was, the Son of God, who offered up himself." No inferior priest was there. There were wicked men who were the instruments employed in accomplishing his death. But after all, the great hand that presented the Lamb of God as the one sacrifice for sin was the hand of the Christ of God. He offered up himself. This means you and I can be assured of salvation. We can be assured that we are forgiven. We can be assured that we are right with God. We can be assured that we're going to heaven. Jesus Christ became fully human in every way to be our priest, our high priest, no one higher. To be our merciful and faithful high priest, to be the sacrifice for our sin, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And fourthly, Jesus, the sympathetic priest. You might think Jesus would say, "I've done all this for you, and what are you like? You let me down, you say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing, my patience has run out." But Jesus is not like that. Verse 18. Because he himself suffered when he was being tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. When we struggle, what does Jesus say? He comes alongside us and he says, "I've been there. Jesus knows the full force of temptation. We give in to temptation. Jesus withstood the full force of temptation. And he never sinned. And he doesn't condemn us. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus is able to help us. He is sympathetic to us. A man put up a sign that said, "Puppies for sale." Among those who came to look at the puppies was a young boy. "Please, mister," he said, "I'd like to buy one of your puppies, if they don't cost too much." "Well, son, they're £25. The boy looked crushed. "I've only got £2.05. Could I see them anyway?" "Of course. Maybe we can work something out," said the man. The lad's eyes danced at the sight of those five little balls of fur. "I heard that one has a bad leg," he said. "Yes, I'm afraid she'll be crippled for life." "Well, that's the puppy I want. Could I pay for her a little at a time?" The man responded, "But she'll always have a limp." Smiling bravely, the little boy pulled up one trouser leg, revealing a brace. Then, looking at the puppy sympathetically, he continued, "I guess she'll need a lot of love and help. I did. It's not so easy being crippled." "Here, take her," said the man. "I know you'll give her a good home. And just forget the money." The boy could sympathize with the lame dog because he was lame himself. Jesus can sympathize with us in our struggles because he struggled himself. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe became human to struggle so that he could help us. Jesus, the suffering priest. Jesus, the brother priest. Jesus, the human priest. Jesus, the sympathetic priest. Is he your priest? Let's pray. Father, how we thank you again for Jesus. Lord, we are weak and sinful and we struggle. We are spiritually lame. And Lord, we know how much we need you. And so we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he comes alongside the persecuted church. Thank you that he comes alongside us in all our struggles. Help us to turn to him, to trust in him, and not to look anywhere else for any other priest than Jesus, who leads us to the Father on the basis of his death as our sacrifice for sin. So, Lord, help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.